While it's true that someday God will judge this world once and for all, Skip Heitzig points out that that doesn't mean his mercy will disappear.
There was a sign posted on a tree right in front of a convent. And listen to what it said. No trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. It doesn't sound very merciful, does it? In the tribulation, God is, so to speak, hanging up his sign. There will be delay no longer. As the full wrath is poured out upon the earth, God is saying, I've had enough. But he takes away the edge with an element of mercy. I love what James writes in James chapter 2. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see it even in the very end.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
If you're like most people, you don't like hearing bad news. In fact, you may go to great lengths, like move to a new state, such as the state of denial, just to avoid bad news. You know, Christians aren't immune to this phenomenon, especially when it comes to the wrath of God. Now, that's not something we like to hear about, but today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig warns that something we'll all one day have to face, unless... Well, you can find out what that is during today's study. But before we start, I also wanted to mention just how important your support of this ministry really is. And here's just one way you can help us out.
Here's a challenge for global missions. Mongolia. Let's check it out. Mongolia. Sparsely populated with about 3 million people, 40% Buddhist, 50% have no religion at all, and only 6% Christian. Listen to Tom Terry from Eagle TV.
We've got a team of guys we call Step by Step. 10 of these guys who are all Mongolians who go out into the countryside and show Bible movies and do evangelism and discipleship. And they still, even today, end up going to areas of the country where the name of Christ is completely unknown. I mean, you're literally starting from square one. And if we can reach those places through satellite, and those areas do have satellite capability, then we can see the ministry of the gospel expand even more than we ever imagined before.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place for Bible teaching on The Connection. And you can get involved personally with the exciting project of global evangelism, and you can even help efforts in countries like Mongolia. Become a member of the Global Connectors for just $25 a month. Your $25 a month makes a bigger impact than you might realize. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 a month when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Carpe diem for the gospel. Get involved today as a member of the Global Connectors. Call 1-800-922-1888.
And of course, another way you can get involved is by joining the School of Ministry. You'll learn in 9 months all the skills you need to be an active participant in just about any ministry you join. And if you'd like to learn more or would like to get signed up, you can give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. So is the wrath and judgment of God really bad news? Well, that depends. What does it depend on? Stay with us to find out.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 as we begin today's study with Skip Heitzig.
Think of the Holocaust. Think of World War I, World War II. Think of things like the Spanish Inquisition or the great plagues of Europe. All of the wars that have been fought and the millions upon millions of people who have been killed. And yet Jesus says the coming event is going to be worse than all of them. Jesus in Matthew 24 agrees with Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. The prophet says, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even into that time. And both of them would agree with Jeremiah, who said, that day is great, there is none like it, it is a time of Jacob's trouble. So we know that this permanent condition since the fall of man is going to erupt in a temporal tribulation where God unleashes his anger, his wrath, for a period of time upon this earth. And it's never happened before quite like that. The tribulation in the Bible is known by several names. Let me share a few of them with you. 26 times it's called the day of the Lord. It is called the indignation in Isaiah chapter 26 and Isaiah 34. It's known as the day of God's vengeance, Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 34. It is known as the great day of his wrath in Revelation 6. And, oddly, it is referred to as the wrath of the Lamb in Revelation 6. I say that's odd because that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? The wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen an angry lamb? Watch out, there's a lamb. Beware of lamb. Lambo. Didn't make sense. Lambs are docile. But that's just the point. The lamb we know is the Son, Jesus Christ. We often picture Jesus, because we want to, as always docile, always joyful, always loving, kissing babies, hugging people, singing with people. And he was so full of joy and so full of love. But we like to forget the times when and will in the future the same Son of God will be full of wrath. You see, the same Jesus Christ who drew in children drove out merchants from the temple. And there will be in the future the wrath of the Lamb, Jesus. Well, Jesus says it's bad. It's really bad. It's not just an episode of trouble. We all have that. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation. There's a big difference, however, from the tribulation that comes from the world as just a human being living here, and the future tribulation that God sends, his wrath. And you might ask, well, okay, I get the point. What could be so bad about it? How could that day be any different or any worse than even today or other periods of time in history? Here's a thumbnail sketch. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, there are seven seals that begin the tribulation period. During that time, there will be unparalleled war, slaughter, famine, incredible inflation, and people hiding in caves and mountains from God's wrath. Then in Revelation 8, we have the seven trumpet judgments, and things get a lot worse. Hail and fire come from the sky to the earth. Rivers, springs, streams of water become polluted and undrinkable, and all the green grass is scorched upon the earth. By the way, the tribulation period will be a nightmare for an environmentalist. It'll be the worst. Because if you think we've messed this place up, wait till you see what God does with it. He will trash it. Revelation chapter 9, the bottomless pit is open. Hordes of demons come out. Revelation 12, demons further are cast to the earth from the heavens. Revelation 16 introduces the third round called the bowl judgments that are poured out upon the earth that include malignant sores, water poisoned, the sun scorching the flesh of men, and hailstones coming out of heaven. And then as we continue to read, it gets worse, because there is then a final conflict mentioned in Revelation 16 where there's a confederation of nations around the world that gather together against Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. Now listen to this. Here's the response from heaven during that time. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. Jesus comes out of heaven at that final conflict and makes war upon the earth. He declares war. Now the inevitable question here, because we've painted a very dark picture, And you're thinking, this is not a happy Bible study. And so you would naturally ask, why? What on earth could be the purpose of God ever doing that to the earth? What would be the purpose of the tribulation? There are several, but I'll just give you two. Number one, it is God's final period of judgment upon nations that have rejected God for so long. You see, we have presumed upon God's patience for such a long time. Over in Rome, there's a little room. It's one of the most famous rooms in the world. We were looking at it in picture form on a computer today, the Sistine Chapel. And on one side of the Sistine Chapel is perhaps Michelangelo's most famous painting called The Great Judgment. It centers in this picture. There's a lot of activity, but it centers on the raised hand of Christ about ready to fall in judgment upon the world. Michelangelo painted it to counteract secular humanism in his day. People had forgotten God. People had forgotten that history would end one day at God's judgment bar. And so when that painting was done, it went throughout Europe. Various European cities displayed it. And it is said that by and large, when Europeans looked on it, here was the phrase, all of Europe trembled. They trembled as they realized this patient, loving God will also be just and one day judge all of the nations and separate the sheep from the goats. There'll be a final period of judgment. I heard about a farmer who was an atheist. Never went to church on Sunday. Hardworking farmer. And he wrote a letter to the local newspaper, to the editor. He asked it to be posted. This is what he said. I've plowed on Sunday. I've planted on Sunday. I've cultivated on Sunday. I've hauled in my crops on Sunday, but I've never gone to church on Sunday. And yet I have harvested more bushels per acre than anyone else, even those who are God-fearing and never miss a Sunday service. Very brash. The editor printed it. And then he added his own comments, saying, God doesn't always settle his accounts in October. God is willing that none should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish eternally. But there is a coming time when God will settle the accounts with his earth. And that's the tribulation period. Here's a second reason, briefly. And that is to prepare Israel for her Messiah. To prepare Israel for her Messiah. They rejected the Messiah the first time. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. Many will be turning to Messiah. We know at least 144,000 who are sealed, perhaps more, during that horrible period of time. Their hearts will open up for their Messiah. So, all of this is part of the justice of Almighty God. You know, I used to picture God, like a lot of people do today. A lot of us used to picture God as some feeble, gentle, bearded old man sitting on a cloud, just smiling as he watches every day go by. And that's the picture that some people have. And they will even say, well, if God is a God of love, how could he judge the world? I ask, if God is a God of love, how could he not judge the world? Think of all that God has seen for so many years. Think of every bad newspaper headline in every major city around the world since newspapers were written. Think of every dark deed, every terrorist activity ever done, every child molestation, murder, rape that God has seen and knows intimately about. And he's been patient and patient and patient. And finally, he says in Revelation, there shall be delay no longer. And the full fury and wrath of God is poured out. And so this temporal tribulation poured out upon the earth, which brings us to a third point. It's in verse 22. And that is eternal compassion. This is really the best part of it. And I was struck by it, honestly, this week, verse 22 just jumps out at me. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's how bad it's going to get. Nobody on earth could survive this. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, in that verse, you have a spiritual principle that when God gives out judgment, he always mingles it with his mercy. There's always an element of mercy, even in the severe judgments of God. You remember the prophet Habakkuk, who wanted to ask God what was the future going to hold, and God said, well, it's not really good. The Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to invade you guys, and I'm going to judge you for a period of time by sending you away to Babylon. This really upset Habakkuk, because he understood the Babylonians are like really bad guys. Okay, we're bad. They're really bad. But he knew the character of God, and he said, Lord, do what you need to do. But in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. You know why he prayed that? Because God always, in wrath, remembers mercy. He'll always mingle mercy with his judgment. You say, well, how would God be merciful during this coming period of human history? A few different ways. First way is called the rapture of the church, where all of those believers in Christ up till that period of time will be taken off the earth. The rapture will have already occurred. As Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. That will have already occurred. Way number two, many people during that time of the tribulation will come to believe in God, trust in Jesus Christ, be saved, and be counted among this group, the elect that are mentioned here. Way number three, that time is going to be really bad. So it's going to be compressed. It's going to be made short. Unless those days were shortened, and it means to be cut off suddenly, ended abruptly, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So God's going to judge the world, and God has every right to pour hundreds and thousands of years of judgment upon the earth. But it's going to be condensed to 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. Those days are going to be shortened. Perhaps that's the meaning of it. Can I give you an alternate meaning? Some people think that what this means is that the judgment is going to be so bad that God in his mercy is going to actually shorten the days, shorten the daylight hours, so there won't be as much sunshine going on, so that the forces, the armies of the Antichrist, will have less visibility to persecute the elect. It's possible. Three times in the book of Revelation, it speaks about this new configuration of darkness that comes upon the earth. Listen to this. This is Revelation chapter 8. And the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So with a third less sunlight, you have a third less energy to maintain systems in the world. That's going to mess with heat and cold, obviously. It's going to be pretty brutal, but it also takes away the advantage of those who would do damage to God's elect. Perhaps that's what it means. The days themselves will become short. So here we have judgment, the wrath of God, the eruption of that wrath in the tribulation, but it's always mingled with mercy. There was a sign posted on a tree right in front of a convent. And listen to what it said. No trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. It doesn't sound very merciful, does it? In the tribulation, God is, so to speak, hanging up his sign. There will be delay no longer. As the full wrath is poured out upon the earth, God is saying, I've had enough. But he takes away the edge with an element of mercy. I love what James writes in James chapter 2. He says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And we see it even in the very end. Now, all of us here tonight, every single person in this auditorium or listening by radio, we're all broken vessels. We all have a story. We all have baggage. We all have something that has hurt us, trials, tribulations. What is it that has broken you? Could be a divorce. You're broken from that. You feel crippled from that event. Could be a disease. You're not who you once were. Could be an episode of an affair that broke up a relationship. It could be a slander. With all of those bad, horrible times, God always adds mercy. And here's my point. Because that's true, you and I need to start looking for it. Do you find it refreshing that King David, before he was king, was followed by Saul, who tried to kill him for 10 years? Dogged like an animal, followed from town to town by somebody who wanted to kill him. Followed also by rebels who wanted to overturn him. And yet the one thing David remembers that followed him, well, listen to what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so, yes, life has disappointments. Life has trials. Life has tribulations. Certainly not like this one. But with all of those bad episodes, we need to look for that string of mercy woven into even the worst of times. I have always loved what Corrie Ten Boom memorized when she was in a Nazi concentration camp. She said it was a little poem that I recite over and over and over again just to keep me sane and to keep my eyes focused. She said, look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus. Be at rest. Even in a Nazi concentration camp, as a young woman, she saw the mercy of God time after time.
With all that we see in the headlines, on the nightly news, and on the up-to-the-minute news websites, it can be hard to find anything positive to focus on sometimes, at least in this world. Our prayer is that your hope isn't set on anything on this earth, which is temporary, but set on the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, which is eternal. And we'll continue through this series in Matthew 24 next time. And in just a moment, I'll tell you how to order a copy of today's teaching. But first, here's a little more insight for you on what will happen when history ends.
9 years ago, headlines around the world reported on a terrorist attack that was beyond imagination.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed.
For many, life has never been the same since that fateful day. Yet as tragic as 9/11 was, it pales in comparison with what the Bible reveals will take place when the end times culminate. This month, The Connection invites you to take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about future world events with a special collection of teachings from speakers such as Skip Heitzig.
Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is at the very center of God's prophetic program. And because of that, it is also in the crosshairs of Satan's attack throughout history and even today.
Tim LaHaye.
The truth is that there are well over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. Over half of them have already been fulfilled.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Joel Rosenberg, and more. This set of 7 CDs from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference is available this month from The Connection for just $35. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order your set today. Learn what the Bible says that we'll see in tomorrow's headlines. 7 astounding teachings for just $35 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, as we wrap things up today, I just wanted to remind you that you can always order a copy of any of the teachings you hear on The Connection by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6. That includes shipping. So call today, 1-800-922-1888. or visit our e-commerce store at connectionradio.org. You can also write us if you'd like. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
There's no denying the world is growing increasingly dark. In fact, we may even be headed toward an all-new Dark Ages. Find out more from Skip Heitzig next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.